Fresh off a Big Ten championship, it's great to have Stacey Soblodnick-Stoll join us, the head coach of our women's golf team. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
And you brought a couple friends along with you.
Yeah, they've got our two horses here with us today. Yeah.
Introduce them both.
Okay. The first one is Sarah Burnham. She's a junior from Wayzata, Minnesota, and All-American as a sophomore, played in the U.S. Open in 2015, winner of two major college tournaments. Shot a 63 on Saturday, which was a school, course, and Big Ten conference record. So she's really good, needless to say. And then our second player is our newcomer of January, Allie Gear from Brighton, Michigan. And she's was a 2017 grad, homeschooled, decided to enroll at Michigan State early. Obviously, we think it was a great choice.
And so, first year, that's good planning on your part.
And, you know, I've always believed that everything happens for a reason, and it just certainly has been a great last 2 months for us.
So for those of us following back here on Golfstat, it was a very emotional tournament at the Big Ten. I can only imagine what you were going through as the coach, watching the ups and downs over the last couple of days especially.
Right.
It was a great way to win.
It was a great way to win, but it was kind of interesting because, you know, obviously Sarah was in the individual race. And her and I met on the 15th tee box and, you know, just kind of check in. And with six of them and two coaches, it's a very interesting dynamic because we're, you know, trying to make sure we see everyone. Sometimes whether you're playing number one or number six, sometimes those people kind of get left just because we're, you know, trying to be with as many players as we can. And so I checked in with Sarah on 15 and, you know, she wasn't having her 63 day again. And it's always hard as a player to follow up your, you know, not only your best round, but the best round in the conference and school and anyway. And so she was, you know, bugging me all the whole back nine to know where she was, where she stood individually. And I last had told her, I think at the turn, was it at the turn that I told you last, or was it on like 11 or 12?
12.
On 12. And she was fighting out there, you know, wasn't hitting her best shots. And so she asked me again on 15, and I just said to her, Sarah, we're going to make a deal right now. We're going to put the phone away, and we're not going to look at anything. I said, we need to, you know, we meaning we're a team, but she's doing all the work. I just wanted her to enjoy the last four holes and just try and hit the best shots that she could, and whatever happened, you know. And I like to believe that if you tell someone to do something, they can do it, and certainly these players are capable of doing that. But, you know, I knew that if she played the best that she could play, you know, she'd have that opportunity to be the Big Ten individual medalist. So, honestly, to make a long story short, she's on 18 green, and I did not know. And I did not even look back because every team is there. You know, it's like this, it's kind of the green is sunk down, and every Big Ten team is sitting there watching. So I didn't want to look back and go, did we win? You know, and make it silly. And the Ohio State coach, who's a very good friend of mine, came up to me and she said, see, I always tell you, it never gets old. And I looked at her and I said, Therese, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't looked at my phone for four holes. And she's like, you're doing pretty good. And so that was.
So when you're on the course, Sarah, basketball teams playing, running up and down the court, they can look up and see where the team's at any point in time. You have no idea where the team score is.
I had no idea what my team did or anything.
Or where you were at.
No, personally, I had no idea. Yeah.
And that doesn't happen often. What I give our players so much credit for is the week before we were at the Lady Buckeye where we also won, beat two top 20 teams, and Ohio State has hosted the national championship. So they have all the scoreboards. So in five different places on the golf course, they're able to see exactly where they stood, and they did that. And for a young team that hasn't, you know, won a whole lot the past couple of years, I was really proud of them that they were watching that board and they knew that we were neck and neck the whole time with Texas, and we pulled it off. The Big Ten Championship, we didn't have that. And that's just kind of the deal that they didn't know, and, you know, we all knew that we just had to go play as hard as we could. And when Sarah made the turn, we were even with Northwestern at that time, and I think you and I discussed that we had drawn even, and okay, let's go have a Masters Sunday back nine.
So what about for you, Allie? Experiences coming to Michigan State, jumping right into getting ready for the season, and then all of these experiences.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I've watched many years the Big Ten Championship from the sidelines, so to be actually like be on the 18th green and like have my whole team there watching and the experience of, you know, I kind of went through the same thing of asking Caroline, like, where we were and stuff, and she wouldn't tell me either, and kind of, you know, having the momentum of just taking every shot that I could and every opportunity. So I've loved being a part of a team. I didn't get that chance because I was homeschooled, so I never played on a high school team. But it's been an amazing experience. I'm so happy that I came early and was able to be a part of what this team is doing this semester.
And what's been the biggest surprise coming to Michigan State?
I just am so thankful of how, like, welcoming everybody's been, and just how I think soon that we all really connected, and how we all really just have worked as a team and connected and knew that we all played a huge part in something that's bigger than just individually, you know, each one of us, and just knew that we all had to play our part this semester, and the way we really just, it wasn't just about one person, it wasn't just about what Sarah and I were doing, it was what everybody was doing. And I think that I really loved being a part of that, and that's something kind of that surprised me of how well I adjusted to it and like how rewarding it is. I think a team win is definitely more rewarding than an individual win either, so.
It was pretty cool.
At the academic gala, your team had the opportunity to step up to the podium and receive the best grade point average of your fellow student mm-hmm. athletes and all the other teams, and then you step to the podium, you win the Big Ten title. Two pretty special moments from an athletic director's perspective, I assume. Very high from your perspective. But talk about maybe the differences and the similarities between those two acceptances.
Well, the finals, I guess, are kind of like the Big Tens. Like when the pressure's on, we are able to handle it, I would say.
Right.
Yeah. So we have learned to do that over the years, and finally we came off with a win.
Right.
And Allie wasn't at the gala.
I was not, no. Yeah. I was still working on my first semester. Yeah.
She was looking
at We'll get you there next year, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What I think is cool is that the team, you know, especially the last 6 years, has really embraced that the two awards are very important. And there's really not one, at least in my eyes, what I see from them, that's
well, it's part
less.
Of our whole life.
Yes.
And that's what's special about seeing both victories.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and now we've gotten so far into it that no one wants to be the team that blows the GPA.
Right.
Because you'd be known as the team who blew it.
Right.
So you'll head off to Georgia. What are the days like when you're in competition? What are the student athletes doing? What are the coaches doing? What does that weekend feel like?
Well, they've got to finish up a few finals this
week. We'll get by
keep that trophy for the next time, right?
Right. Well, this week is tough. It's tough from my perspective because I don't have the opportunity until Friday to have them all together. Okay. You know, it's really, even though there's only five of them, it's amazing how different their schedules are. And you know, Caroline and I just have to be mindful of that. But it's hard because I'm kind of like, okay, when are they coming to the golf course? And I mean, I know when they're going to be there. But once we get on the road, it's no different than any other tournament that we're at the golf course all day long. So on Sunday, we'll play a practice round that is predetermined. Our time is predetermined, which is 8:40. So we'll play a practice round. We'll get lunch at the turn, and then we'll practice afterwards. The weather looks great down there so far. And then we'll go out for a nice dinner. And then Monday we will play 18 holes. Again, the same routine. We normally get lunch at the turn. A bag is handed to them. Mm-hmm. We practice after until every player feels like she has done what she needed to do to prepare for the next day. You know, we look at what they may have made mistakes on. We try and talk about those things. You know, that's, for instance, like the second day of the Big Ten, we played two holes really poorly. We actually were 15 under at one time and ended up at only 5 under. So we had some opportunities that we made mistakes on, and Caroline and I were happy to report that the next day we played at least one of those holes, actually I think both of them, much, much better. So it's just kind of looking at, you know, what's going on that first day, and then just practicing and eating, and we may have to find some other things to do because they won't need to be doing any studying, which is, you know, that's exciting for them too, is that, you know, we can go see a movie or, you know, go to the mall or do things that we don't normally get to do, or even see their football stadium or see Athens a little bit, because normally we eat and then they have to go back and study. So
you're both so accomplished in your game. What's the coaching player interaction to make the tweaks that make a 63 or make the next round a little bit better? So how do you think about that when you're on the course, or do you really worry about that and you just try to get into your own moment and your own space?
Well, On my 63 personally, on the back nine, I wanted to coach just to walk with me, just to, like, calm my nerves because I was playing really well. So I guess just, like, them being out there, maybe checking alignment, make sure we're all square to the pin so we hit it straight, just things like that really helped me. And then to prepare for the next day, it's just kind of like the same thing. We just go through the basics and then hope for the best for the next day as well.
Well, one thing that we feel like we're helpful to is on the par threes, mm-hmm. because they know what each other hits, you know, just because they play together so much. So if there's a difficult par three, I can say to Allie, you know, I can say to Sarah, okay, Allie played at this. This was what the wind condition was doing, and here's what she hit. And then Sarah, that could be helpful to Sarah to make a decision. But, you know, we're trying to prep them if they want to play on tour. So a lot of that, too, is they need to learn to be out there and to handle their own emotions and what's going on. But certainly on shooting 63, I did not want to miss any part of that.
Yeah.
I wanted to see as much as I could. And also, if I could be comforting, I mean, really, I just tried to talk to Sarah about everything but golf, you know, just thinking about food and about country music and about all the things that she enjoys. And it's just sometimes when you're in that moment and she's, you know, 9 under par, 10 under, you know, she makes 11 birdies. It's like, let's divert attention to other things. And then once we get to the ball, we can kind of start that process back up. But, you know, there's a lot of times with both of them can tell you that, you know, they won't see Caroline or I for 9 holes. And that sometimes has some things to do with these two being the two best players on the team. You know, it's sometimes we need to be with the other players that we got to bring them along a little bit or just help them out and walking with them and helping with club selection where, you know, the way these two hit the ball is just, it's different than most of us normal golfers.
Stacey says that about the way I hit the ball too, so it's different than most golfers, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't use the word normal in the process.
I shot a 63 too, but it was on the back nine.
I always worry about your back.
Yeah. But it we're talking sort of 5-10 years from now. You all both want to be on the tour.
Maybe.
So, but what do you like to do then?
What would I like to do?
What would I like to do? If you could do anything in the world, what would you want to do?
Well, I've had some ideas go through my mind.
Okay, that's okay.
But I don't know. Now I'm on this new thing where, I don't know, I'd like to maybe, like, own my own business, like, have a banquet area, and my major's hospitality business, okay. So I'd love to host, like, weddings and special events.
So
and
you could own a golf
like
course.
Maybe a golf course. Yeah. We'll have to see. Or maybe general management in the golf course world. Mm-hmm. Not sure yet.
Sarah enjoys her major very much.
I do.
And that's a total plug for the hospitality business.
No, that's okay.
And yes.
And you're sort of new, so.
Yeah, I'm a communications major mm-hmm. right now. So, but after I graduate, yes, I would like to turn pro and be out there as long as I can and stuff. And then hopefully
become an announcer with your communications.
Yeah, we'll see. Wherever it takes me.
You'd be good at that.
Yeah. And so, Stacey, this is every time you have a young team, you smile more. You do.
That's because I don't have to worry about losing anyone next year.
There's partly that, but partly it's the teacher. It's the chance to see people develop as human beings, not just as golfers, because they come really pretty well prepared to be a golfer.
Yes. No, it's a very rewarding job, and I just feel so blessed to be doing something that I love to do. And, you know, I think 21 years back when my coach asked me to be her assistant, I never really dreamed what was going to happen. But I just feel fortunate to really be in the place that I think that I belong and be doing the thing that I really feel like I was meant to be doing. And just to watch players like Sarah and Allie and her teammates and what they're capable of doing as people and as players really is incredible. And I think, you know, they don't realize it because they're in that mode, but when they come here as 17 or 18-year-olds and they leave as 22-year-olds, you know, Sarah's going to be able to tell you next year the amount that she has grown as a person and as a player has been incredible. And it's fun to watch that. It's fun to watch the progress. It's fun to be part of that. It's fun to talk about it when they realize it. And I think all that, you know, they're going to leave Michigan State always having Michigan State in their heart. And that's something that also is important to me because we talk to them all the time about the legacy that the players before them have left. and the reason why we have the building and the reason why we're able to travel and do the things that we do are because of the our alumni, and just making sure that they understand that, just like Coach Izzo talks about leaving footprints in the sand, is they've just left their mark on Michigan State, and that's pretty cool, especially as a junior and as a freshman. We got plenty more opportunities.
Talking to parents out on or listening to the broadcast about why golf is a good game to learn. Why it's the kind of game that is both a lifetime game but a good game to learn of all the other things that you could do.
Allie and Sarah can add in on this too.
Why would you want to encourage people to take up golf?
I think for me, I'll answer first, is watching the opportunities that our players have with donors, supporters, and people that down the road may be able to help them do whatever it is they want to do is really cool. And I think that our sport is so different, it allows us to play with some of the people, again, donors and supporters of our program, where there's not many other sports where they can go out, you know, a donor's not going to play football or softball with some of the, you know, with the team. So it's a totally different dynamic. And I think the supporters of our program and our friends really get to see and understand who and what these young people are and what they're capable of. So I think from a sport perspective, it's what I'm trying to teach my 13-year-old, is that it is about the honesty. It's about the integrity. It's about, you know, they're challenged individually out on the golf course at all times. You know, whether you're 11 under, 9 under, or whatever it is, a couple over, or 11 over. You know, they're out there virtually by themselves, you know, being challenged and knowing that they're part of a greater team that needs them. And so there's just so many components to the game that I think are awesome.
Yeah, you learn a lot of life lessons. That's what I've learned just through golf.
You can judge a lot about people by the way they play golf, too.
Yeah.
Like, are they aggressive? Are they conservative? Are they...
Yeah, you can definitely tell, like, the people throwing their clubs are,
right,
are out. But, like, the people that can calm themselves.
Stay calm. Yeah. Check yourself.
Some good people.
Yeah. It takes a certain mentality to play at this kind of level of golf and a certain personality. And I think at this point, any time that, you know, you grow up playing golf, or doesn't matter when you start playing golf, it builds character. And that's one thing, like, that I've learned is that it really, like, shapes who you are as a person and gives you opportunities and stuff. And that's what I've enjoyed.
I think that, yeah, you mentioned integrity. Yeah, because oftentimes you're there by yourself. Now there's high-definition TV that can maybe determine what did or did not happen. But you really are there, and the integrity of your score depends a lot on you, mm-hmm, and how you interpret the rules, how you think about it, mm-hmm, how you push yourself to not cut a corner, mm-hmm, along the way.
Definitely.
Yeah, those are skills and attributes that are so valuable in the work world in life, mm-hmm, and those are what lets people get ahead, along with sort of the sense for me of golf, because you have to pay a lot attention to a lot of little things.
Yes.
And also adjust, because the course one day is not the course the next. Mm-hmm. And so you're constantly having to make sort of adjustments. You can't get into a rut that says this is the way you're going to do it today.
I feel like our coaches do a really good job of that, even when we're working out, if we're practicing or anything. Like, we could be running around the track and they all yell, don't cut the corners, you know, and that's always a constant reminder to us of, no matter, even with the small things, you do it to the best of your ability and you don't take the easy way out at any cost. And that, I think, that really translates onto the course of mentally, of, you know, preparing for every shot and not letting even the littlest thing, like, slip by your mind.
And it's hard with golf because you have 18 holes. And we all know how easy it is for one hole to slip away.
Yeah.
You know, and in their minds, when they're shooting, they want to shoot par or better every day. You know, that one hole, or that one, you know, could be just one mistake, could lead to something big. But they've got to be tough and strong enough to know that they can overcome it. And Sarah's very good at making birdies, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So she has that capability of, when she does make a mistake, it doesn't bother her. She moves on and knows that she can birdie the next three. And if anyone who does follow her on Golfstat, you can see that she always has that ability.
That's what I was going to say about Sarah. Sarah's great about letting things go. I think one of the holes I was like, oh, dang it, Mabel. She goes, girl, you got six holes left. You're fine. You have plenty of times for birdies. Yeah. And that's where it comes back to, we're all bigger than our golf score too. Yeah. And that's the one thing I do love about the team too, is that we're all people and the score doesn't define us.
For me, I like to play as many fairways as I can on one hole. You know, it's See, you know that, right?
Yeah, I've played with you plenty.
Yeah, we probably need to talk about 2019 and something special that's coming to East Lansing.
Right, the NCAA Regional.
Coming right mm-hmm. here. Back-to-back years, the women, we will host that in 19 and then mm-hmm. 20 the men.
Yes, it's pretty exciting.
It's a great opportunity for local.
It's a great opportunity. Brings me right back to when we had it here the last time, which right. was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago. But we've got such a special venue at Forest Acres on the west side, and just are fortunate to have a beautiful golf course and a great staff that's fired up. And I've already come up with like a list of things that I want them to start working on for the golf course.
to make it harder.
No, just, you know, some touch,
the
special
improvements,
touches.
Right?
Required improvements.
Well, will the required improvements make it harder?
No. Some of it's just aesthetics.
Yeah.
And Steve Ruthenberg has obviously been at Forest Acres since I was a student here.
Yeah.
So we've known each other for a long time, and they're just so great about supporting us and doing the things that they need to do to make our lives easier out there. And Ron Lewis, our superintendent, is great. I call him almost daily, whether it be green speed or can you put the pins here or what's the, you know, how much rain do we get last night? You know, and they're just great. And just knowing that we're going to put our best foot forward to host a great NCAA regional is very exciting.
Yeah. Puts a little bit of pressure to play well that year, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But one of my dreams of being a head coach is someday to have a national championship at Forest Acres. So I feel like if we get back in that mix of hosting a regional,
right.
you know, we can maybe, who knows.
Well, dreams can come true.
Yes, they
good
can.
Luck at Georgia. Say hello to Pam Witten, who is a former dean of the College of Communications and is the provost down there now.
Oh,
so
cool.
She's
right.
A good friend, and she'll host you down there if nobody else will. But right. I'm sure you'll find someone.
Yeah, so the MSU Atlanta Alumni Club has already contacted me.
Which is
me,
a very strong one.
Yes, and I think we'll have some people from there. And I also told Steve Smith that we were going to be there. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Good. Many friends.
Great Spartans. And thanks for being a part of Team MSU. We're so proud of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.